coming up on the end of the year, obviously. Today is the 19th. And, it's always nice at the end of the year, not that you have to do it at the end of the year or whatever, but maybe you look at what are your goals or what are you looking to accomplish. I was talking to, it's good to have our college students back, Miss Haley and Miss Jules and Becca over on that side. Thankful for them that they're back in town. And they survived some their first semester. Pretty survived. Survived pretty much, right? Still alive. That's good. And but I was talking to Haley, and she had her goals for the break. And that's good. That's good to set up goals. After you hit a certain age, you stop setting goals. It's like, well, I've accomplished everything. I'm married. I have a career. I have a vehicle. Now I'm just trying to maintain those things. Is that where it goes? The goal is to just maintain? I hope not. I think if you ask a young person, like maybe a teenager or something of that sort, is that better? All right, sorry. There we are. Cranked it trying to get sound and I didn't have it on, so that was my fault, sorry. So maybe you ask a teenager, hey, what do you hope to accomplish, you know, with your life? And, you know, well, I want to have a family. Okay, good. I'd like to get a good job to be able to support that family. Well, that's good. I'd like to have a home, right? Those are good, right? Those are nice things to have. And maybe you'd say, I'd like to travel a little bit. Williams just got back from sunny Florida. Praise the Lord. And how you feeling? Good? Recovered? You had a late night last night, and their flights got delayed a little bit. And maybe not only get married, but maybe have a family. Maybe you'd like to alter your home forever by adding little people to it. And that's great. Maybe a ministry. Maybe I'd like to be in the ministry full time. I know some of our young people are preparing for that. I don't think any person would say, well, I really hope to just have 3 square meals a day and the clothes on my back. No one says that. They have lofty goals, right? I'd like to do something great with your life. Why don't we ever worry about the little things? Well, quite honestly, it's because the Lord takes care of those so well. I don't know, maybe if your wife is different than mine, but she walks into her closet and says, what should I wear? There's options. There's a lot of options. To which nothing is acceptable. I remember when we were in Mexico the first time, and every time I saw these kids, they were wearing the same thing. They had an outfit. They had a church outfit and had a non-church outfit. That's what they wore. I guess it took the guesswork out of what to wear, but I don't worry about, hey, I'm going to run out of clothes. I don't have to worry about meals. I have enough in store right now that I can make it through for a while. So what is it that we give attention to? What is it that we really think about? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We give a lot of effort to marriage and a job, a career, a home, a car, maybe even some entertainment and travel. We give a lot of attention to our family. Let me ask you, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Is that top priority? My goal this year is to seek God first. That I would make Him top priority. Do we even consider that? Or do we take all those other things and say, all right, where can I fit God in? How do I fit God into my marriage? How do I fit God into my job? I'm going to travel for Jesus. What did God say about your family? What does God say about your ministry? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Christianity is a wonderful thing. There's so many benefits of being a Christian. We get eternal life, John chapter 14. He promised it. Not only does He save us from our sin, we were talking today. I had a whole message prepared for Hilton, and then as Mrs. Faulkner said, we're kind of interrupted a little bit. But it wasn't a bad interruption. I didn't feel like it was caustic, but she brought up some questions, so that's kind of the direction that the message went. And after we would answer that point, she would bring up another question. So I don't know, maybe there was four good questions within our 15-minute message there over at Hilton East. To which, oh, that makes sense, she said a couple times. Which is nice when you can make sense to, well, Mrs. Faulkner said, someone that's special. But we were talking this morning about how Jesus Christ saved us from our sin. Not only did He do that, but the benefit is that He's given us, not only saved us from the consequence of sin, He didn't just take us out of hell, but He gave us the eternal life. Man, that's a blessing. That's a benefit of being a Christian. How about the indwelling Holy Spirit of God? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us that we are sealed until the day of redemption. Protected by God Himself. Satan cannot get a hold on us. Holy Spirit of God teaches us, as we've seen so many times in the book of John and the Spirit of Truth. He convicts us against sin and righteousness and judgment, according to John chapter 16. Just the fact that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, isn't it nice that if we have a question about our day-to-day affairs, that we don't have to run to the church house or call up the priest or somebody else and say, I need you to get a hold of God. It's right inside of me. The only thing I have to do is yield to it. Will I listen? Will I yield to what God says? Will I seek first the kingdom of God? We have access to the throne of God directly. And we can recognize that all of our needs are met by God. He's very good to us. I asked the question this morning at the nursing home, but you know, who wouldn't, we're less than a week away from Christmas, if there's a wrapped present underneath the tree, who wouldn't open it? Why wouldn't you take it? It's a gift. Even a bad gift, right? I mean, just hope for the receipt in there, right? So we can go exchange or something. But how about the gift of eternal life? Why wouldn't you take that? Look at all the benefits. But on the other side, the appearance of fun and enjoyment in the world. Man, the world does a great job of making sin look good. The parties, the lack of rules, the freedom. That's a lie. Hey, when you run from the Lord and you feel like you have freedom, you don't have freedom. You're a servant of somebody. You can either be the servant of righteousness or the servant of sin. Lack of rules. I hear this. I'm just accepted by those people. They really care about me. Everybody read the proverb of the day today? Anybody read the proverb of the day? Say, what does that mean? Well, there's 30-some days every month, and then there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4, wealth maketh many friends. Isn't that true? But the poor is separated from his neighbor. Why is that? Because he ran out of money. There's some good friends in there just as long as the good times keep rolling. But what happens when you have trouble? What happens when you come to a crisis of belief and you want to make a move for God? Is that friend there to encourage you? Those people really care about me. How could you care about someone when you don't have the true definition of care and love? Unconditional. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. We'll just remind ourselves of this verse, and then we'll move on. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, right? Hey, encourage somebody today. That's good advice. Wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to be a help to somebody. I want to encourage somebody. I want to exhort somebody. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says this. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hey, there may be an appearance that is fun and enjoyment in the world, but that's a lie. It's the deceitfulness of sin. So what do we do? Well, the truth of the matter is that you cannot go down the path of sin and hope to get to the right place. You cannot. It doesn't lead there. It will never lead there. And too many try and play the game of both the world and Christianity and trying to keep the best of both worlds and keep both happy, and you'll just end up miserable. Because you sacrifice your self-will. And you choose your will over God's will, which leads to rebellion. And at the end of that road, you expect God's best. You won't find it there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hey, you're being lied to if you're being told, go down this path and you'll find what you're looking for. If it's anywhere away from the Lord, you're being lied to. Seek ye first. So we seek the Lord. Concerning what? Everything. We seek God concerning everything. Has there ever been a chance or an opportunity or a time where you ask God, God, what is it that you want in my life? And you did it on faith and you regretted it? Never. Has there ever been a time when you failed to ask God what He thought on the matter? You made the decision in your own strength, in your own wisdom and design. And has that worked out flawlessly? No, it doesn't. The only guarantee is that we seek the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is what we ought to do. In all matters. Job. Ask God. God, what do you want me to do? How many of you play chess? Anybody play chess? Good. Chess, there's 16 pieces on each side. Each piece has its own job. Each important. Now, I understand that the queen is the most powerful and the king is the one that you want to try and protect. But each has its own job. Pawns move, protects, cuts off attacking lanes. Say, really? That's why I lose. I don't even understand what you're talking about. I'm just saying everyone has a job. And you were designed by God for a job. Why don't you ask Him, what did you design me for? Who knows better to choose the perfect mate for the rest of your life than God Himself? Yeah, but he's cute. Or she's pretty. Hey, that's great. That is important, and I hope that works out well. But there's more to a marriage than pretty and handsome. And all the people that are saying amen are the people that are married. We are telling you by experience. How things start isn't how they always look at the end. I'm just telling you. There's more to it than looks. And God knows that and has someone perfect for you. So you seek Him. Any and all of life's decisions, you seek Him first. Why? Because He's proven Himself. He's done it. But here's the problem, we're afraid. We're afraid that if we see God, all of a sudden, Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm getting sent. If I see God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? All of a sudden, I'm in the jungles of Africa. I see God, and all of a sudden, I'm in the inner city of Philadelphia all by myself. Or even worse, Alaska. Where there's like six people. And it's always cold and dark. That's what's going to happen, Pastor Russo. If I see God, that's what He's going to do to me. I just know it. He hates me. No, He loves you. And you've been designed by God for a reason. And you will find the most amount of joy by being obedient to what God has designed for you. So seek Him. Seek Him first, because He has proven Himself. I have full confidence that God is able to lead and guide me. Full confidence. There's no reason to doubt or fear. But we are afraid of faith. Because, and I'll tell you why, because we like being in control. Faith is a scary thing. Why? Because every step is around a corner. Say, what does that mean? It's blind. I don't know what's over there. But I have to take the step to get there. What's it look like? I don't know. God has proven Himself. Number two, His ways are always right. God will always meet all of your needs. Now, sometimes we have a false sense of what we need. To me, when I taught high school, I would every couple years I would have the students fill out lists of what they look for in a mate. Oh, it's funny what a 14-year-old or 15-year-old thinks. Is A-list material? The A-list is deal breakers. B-list is if you get enough broken on the B-list, you're out. Any A-list breaking, gone. C-list is ideal circumstances. Man, you would... There's like three things on a list, right? Saved. Okay, usually like one thing. Just that. Just as long as they're saved. And even that could be negotiable as a mission field. B, a bunch of things. And then the preferences. Pages of things. Height, weight, eye color. Ethnic background. It's funny, sometimes we think we know what's best. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek Him with your job. Seek Him with your life. Seek Him with your home. Seek Him with your ministry. Well, there's an opportunity. Did you ask God what He wanted you to do? Because His ways are always right. And the third reason we seek the Lord, because our spirit is strengthened. When we seek the kingdom of God, well, we're more spiritually minded. We see things right. It's a dangerous thing when someone is not in their Bible on a regular basis and not praying and talking to the Lord and not in church and has to make a major life decision, that's very dangerous. Why? Because you're not seeing things clearly. You're not seeing things spiritually. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God, and you're hoping to get to the right place. My truck, the heat is negotiable. So this morning, when I went to bed last night, it was nice, and I woke up this morning and there was frost all over it. Well, I get in and it takes about 10 minutes for the heat to kick on, which is pretty much the entire ride from my house to church. I say, why are you doing that? Well, you know. And I scraped it, but that worked for about a minute. And then it started to haze over again. That's not good to drive like that. I'm just telling you by experience, not being able to see on Route 18, looking through something about that big, isn't wise. So we did some things this afternoon to fix that. And we're excited. We're driving. Feel that? That's heat. Haven't felt that in a while in this vehicle. Say, why are you saying that? Because a lot of times we're driving down the road without being able to see. Because we have not sought first the kingdom of God. We have not been in our Bibles. We have not been on our knees. We have not been attentive to the preaching of the gospel or the preaching of God's word. Yeah, you can be here, but have you yielded to what he's been talking to you about? And then you're going to go out and try and drive your family in a direction? That's dangerous. Hey, seek the Lord. Seek him first. Because your spirit will be strengthened. The desires of this world will become less. And the view of God will become greater. No one likes to hear the word guilty. Usually means we did something wrong. Are you guilty of seeking the Lord, though? If you went to court and you were to stand trial in front of God, would you say, guilty? You sought me in all matters. Or would you say, son, daughter, very rarely did I hear from you. Only when you got yourself in a mess. Now he's merciful. But wouldn't it be better if we sought him first? Let's all stand. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, that's a Sunday school verse. That is, if we could get a handle on that, whew, how much different would things be? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the prayer requests. And Lord, I'm thankful for the blessings, the things that you've done this past week. Lord, I on the behalf of Brandon, Lord, I beg you, do something here Christmas Eve with his heart. Lord, even now, prepare him. Put him in contact with a Christian. Help him to remember the things that Ray and Josh and have told him. Lord, I pray for all the other requests. And Lord, again, we just lay them at your feet. Lord, help us to seek you first in all matters. Lord, we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.